Good afternoon. I'm an addict, and my name is Lynette. A nervous addict. You know, I was looking at the agenda before I came in here, and I noticed that there are 5 workshops that are going on about this time, and they all seem to be topic-based workshops. And then there at the end, there's the good old 1, 2, 3 traditions, you know. And when I got here, after I checked in downstairs at the registration, one of the first things I did was I came up here with a friend of mine, and I was just kind of looking at the room. I've done this before, but when I came to room 217, I said, they got the game twisted. This is a tradition meeting, and there won't be anybody in here but me, probably, and the other speaker. You know, so I thank the other recovering addicts that came to listen to something other than topic workshops, the traditions. You know, when I got into recovery almost 8 years ago, one of the suggestions that my sponsor and the women that I call my network or my backup band, one of the suggestions that they gave me was one of the first things I need to do was to invest in the literature. You know, they told me before I bought 5 pair of tennis shoes in all different colors and gold to go on every finger, you know, and filling those ears up with earrings and diamonds and stuff like that. If I planned on being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I might want to invest in the literature. And through the grace of God, this copy of the basic text is the basic text that somebody gave me when I was in treatment at Carrick Hall almost 8 years ago. It's the same book. It's a book that's very important to me. When I go to literature meetings, I take my own literature, because while I'm in a group that focuses on the literature every month, when I go to a literature meeting, I have a tendency to see something or read it, and it jumps out and it means something different each time I read it. So I like marking up my own book, you know. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak on the traditions 1, 2, and 3. The first tradition, second tradition, and third tradition. At the beginning of the reading, it says, as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, that all will be well. The first one is that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And what I've learned the 8 years that I've been here is that unity is the keystone of the success of the Narcotics Anonymous program. As long as we are united together, and as long as we stand together on the statement that no addict seeking recovery need ever die, then we will be a united fellowship. It's when we start being divided, it's when those egos and unfounded pride and all of those things that the literature talks about comes into play, that we stand to become divided as a fellowship. And in my readings, what I found out was that the traditions just didn't fall out the sky. You know, they didn't just need 12 things to go in the back of the book behind the 12 steps. There was a reason for the formulation of the 12 steps. What happened was, through trial and error, groups would try one thing and it wouldn't work. And then somebody else would try something else and it didn't work. And so what happened was, groups began to be of the opinion that there were rules that govern Narcotics Anonymous. Rules that govern New York, rules that govern California, the District of Columbia, then break down D.C., Potomac, you know, all the different areas and stuff like that. And what happened was, the World Service Organization asked people to send in what rules govern your group. And it ended up being an awful lot of information that was sent in, because we have as many opinions in Narcotics Anonymous as we have varying degrees of recovery, varying drugs, whatever, you know. So like asking one group, I don't know about you, but the self-centered part of me says that my way is always the best way. My group is always the best group, and our way is always the most successful way, but of course we know better than that. So in order to avoid the controversy that would develop as a result of a room full of addicts like myself and you all getting together, the 12 traditions were formulated. Unity, that's the only thing that we need to have in common in the beginning. I don't have to like you. I don't have to know anything about you. As a matter of fact, I don't even have to have done exactly what you did. But I will stand together with you for this 75 minutes in the hopes that when we all leave this room after the serenity prayer that we'll still leave here clean. That's our common goal. That's one of the most important ones. The second tradition states that our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And it talks about a group conscience and a higher power. You know, and I've gone to many, many, many meetings in almost the 8 years that I've been here. And, you know, when we read the traditions, we have a tendency to want to add stuff. You know, we want to take away stuff. The literature was formed by the literature committee, you know, and it was written the way it was supposed to be. And I don't always need to add a hit. You know, like when they say that we were sick, we want to have a chorus of sick. You know, when we read that our leaders are but trusted servants, we have a chorus of people that want to say thank God. You know, and what happens is we end up mimicking things and we don't even know why we're repeating them. You know, I don't say thank God when we say that we're trusted servants because I'm a trusted servant in Narcotics Anonymous. Service has been one of the greatest possessions that I've had since I've been here. Matter of fact, I don't know if I would still have been here if it were not somebody introduced me to service very early on. They told me it was important that I be a part of the voice, you know, because if I'm not a part of the solution, I'm a part of the problem. So at the end of the meeting, when I have complaints, and I think that the meeting should be run this way, that the speaker should have sat this place, that this should be, you know, well, then what are you doing about it, Lynette? You know, are you sitting on the sidelines complaining? Or do you consider yourself an active member of Narcotics Anonymous? Today, I consider myself not only an active member, but an informed member of Narcotics Anonymous. And there's a difference, in my opinion, anyway. The third tradition states that the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. I'm grateful for that, a desire. My son, my oldest son, who's 24, my oldest son had a desire for me many, many years ago for me to stop using. It just so happened that his desire and my desire were not aligned at the same time. I had a desire to stop using on the days when I didn't have any money. I had a desire to stop using when all of the drugs ran out. But on the first of the month, not using never crossed my mind. Why not use when I have some money? Just for today anyway, because that's how long my money end up lasting, only for today. You know, I have a story that began over 22 years ago. You know, and the literature talks about the progression of the disease. You know, when Earth, Wind, and Fire used to come to Washington, you didn't go out to Meriwether Post Pavilion or the Constitution Hall to see Earth, Wind, and Fire without having drugs. You just didn't. You always had to get something to go with the concert, you know. So in the end, I could go to the bank on Friday, and I could get a certain amount of money. And at one time, I think I used to be able to get $50, and $50 used to cover me for the weekend. But that was a minute ago. That was a minute ago. And then I bought my first pipe. And when I bought my first pipe, I stopped dreaming. As a matter of fact, when I bought my first pipe, I stopped going on vacations. I stopped being what I consider to be a pretty good mother. Stopped being a decent employee. Didn't have any time for God. You know, I didn't want him to blow my high. Yeah, you know, so I couldn't pray to him and acknowledge him and get high at the same time. So what I needed to do was kind of set him on the shelf. I'll get back in touch with you, Lord, when I need you. You know, but I thank God that the only requirement for membership was a desire. Because I don't know about you, and as a matter of fact, this is the tradition where I get most emotional, you know, because I always try to make sure that I remember that morning when I took my happy high parts over to Building 12 on the grounds of D.C. General. It was June 18th of 1997, and I went over there, and I used to, I like to consider myself an uptown girl. You know, I had a decent job. I was a court stenographer for over 20 years, and I made a whole lot of money. I traveled around the world. I went to every continent, served with four presidents and a couple of administrations. Cocaine doesn't care about that. Cocaine took every penny that I made. It took every penny that I made. And what happened was there was a period of time when I used to shop. You know, I used to like Georgetown. I liked Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, and all those things. But I was a poor girl. I grew up in rural Virginia after my mother died one day. I woke up when I was eight in Boston, and my mother was dead. And I moved from Boston to rural Virginia. Instead of being one of four, I looked up and I was one of 13. And in rural Virginia, everything we ate, we grew out in the backyard. Everything we ate, we planted. One day I had a little piglet that was my pet called Rosie, and the next day Rosie was pork chops with some rice beside it. You know, so I had to learn how to tell my story. You know, I had to learn how to tell my story, and I was sharing that not that long ago, and I looked up and there was a man crying, you know, and he said, you know, people did just what you all did. They laughed, but that's real for a lot of us. I know I ain't the only one that had a pig out back that was chitlins and bacon one morning. You know, I just have to keep my story real and remember what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. So when I got to D.C. General that morning, you know, I got there because it had all run out. There was no more. It didn't have anything to do with me having a desire to stop using drugs. I just didn't have any more money. Yeah. You know, in the beginning when I came into this fellowship, I mimicked and I parroted. I aped. I said what you all said. You know, I was a get what net what. You know, if you all said you came in because you were sick and tired of being sick and tired, that sounded good. Say that, Lynette. But as I keep coming back and more is being revealed, I'm clear about the fact that on June 18th or 19th, I don't know, because what happened was it was a 3 or 4 day run, and they ran into one another. So it started out on a Thursday. I looked up. It was Saturday morning. I didn't have a desire. I didn't have a desire to stop using. Matter of fact, what happened was I had run out of bright ideas. I had no more negotiable items. I wasn't this size. Recovery has been very good to me. Okay? I wasn't this size at all, because when I use drugs, I don't bathe and I don't eat. So I didn't look like this. And I had had an apartment sale the night before. And it wasn't my apartment, it was my cousin's apartment. My cousin had a son-in-law, and what she would do was she would start to accumulate things for him in a large box, and she would buy cottons and cottons of Newports and underwear and things of that nature. And I had gone from Thursday to Saturday, I had sold my son's VCR, his television, all of his tapes. I had sold anything that I had. I didn't have anything left on my welfare food checks. Come on now, it was the 18th of the month. You know, mine went on the 1st, so I was waiting for July 1st to roll around. And then I got a bright idea. I would go in her room, and then I saw that box. Where I was staying then was Arthur Capers, 601 Virginia Avenue, Southeast. Newports was just like money. Yeah, cartons and Newports, too. Then I had a runner, you know, I had a runner because coming from where I did in the work career, you know, I didn't go out there and buy stuff. I had somebody that I put the money in their hand. She beat me going and coming, you know. I was giving her straight money. She was taking money off the top and getting some of my packets, because I'm needy when I use. And it's important that I set you up and take better care of you than I take care of me, just so you'll sit there and be my friend. But when it's all gone, and this is the hit, it does run out. It does run out. I didn't even know that. It don't make a difference how much I buy. It never came across my mind, Lynette, this too will run out. So I sold all of those Newports, and I sold his underwear, and I sold his socks. And her name was Ann, and Ann likes to fight, you know. So Ann would get in every Saturday morning at about 10 a.m., and I might have been a pipehead, but I wasn't a slow pipehead. I knew that it was important for me to be out of apartment 401 before Ann got in there, you know. So that was a great day to go to detox. Yeah, I was trying to avoid an ass whipping. It had nothing to do with a desire to stop using. Yeah, she likes to fight. She fights and then she thinks, you know. So I wasn't trying to be on the end of that. Detox sounded like a good idea, you know. And I went to Free Building 12 on the grounds of D.C. General. And I always need to say that because you know what? When I came to Washington, I went out to Rockville, Maryland. I went out to a sports place called Manhattan Auto. I was 19. I bought an Alfa Romeo with 20 miles on the mileage. And I had personalized tags, and you couldn't tell me I wasn't a shit, you know. And my cousin lived in that building for over 25 years, and I had a son, and she always wanted me to bring him by. But I thought I was a cut above, and I said I wouldn't be caught dead in that building, you know, because when I used to ride out 295 and look over at that building, nobody had windows. There were no panes. There was no glass in the frames. And I said I wouldn't be caught dead in that building, and that's pretty much where I almost died, in that building. What happened was I used to drive past good old Free D.C. General. You know, because when I worked, I always had high option insurance. Oh, I could go to GW, Group Health, wherever, you know, had health care providers. But cocaine don't care nothing about none of that, you know, and it would take all of that. And so on June 20th, after 3 days of sitting in the lobby of D.C. General, good old Free Building 12 was just right for me. So the third tradition that says that all I need to have is a desire. I didn't come in the door with a desire. I didn't come in the door with a desire. I came in there, you know, and I had mats and luggage, and no longer did it say Louis Vuitton, didn't say Gucci no more, it said Safeway, yeah. And I ran into a girl in the meeting the other week, and she said she had matching Safeway luggage too. I ain't mad, you know, I'm not mad. If I hadn't hit that bottom, that was the bottom that was necessary for an arrogant, self-centered, prideful, headstrong addict like me. My son used to say, you're a pipehead. You're going to die a pipehead, you know. But the liturgy says that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. And so I'm grateful that without my permission, I just kind of showed up. And then I sat in that lobby, and it was stinking. Oh, it was Saturday morning. It was a whole rack of us that hit a bottom. The sodas were a quarter, you know. But I ain't had nowhere else to go. I didn't have nowhere else to go. So I ran into my girlfriend the other day that started the journey with me, and she's got about 3 weeks now. And she said, Lynette, you know what, I'm so proud of you because you came and you stayed. You stayed. And I told her, you know what, because I ain't had nowhere to go. Y'all must have had somewhere else to go. I guess that's why you left. And I'm not taking her inventory. I'm just clear. I ain't have nowhere else to go. I ain't have nowhere else to go. And you know what, almost 8 years after the fact, not all those doors that were closed are open. They not all open yet, y'all. There are some of them that will remain closed. Narcotics Anonymous has never closed on me, you know, and I'm grateful for the desire being the only requirement. Because if the requirement had been $1.50 on June 20th, 1997, if the requirement had been a dollar, not even $1.50. If the requirement had been a dollar, I don't know about you, but I'd have been locked out the door. Yeah. So I'm clear about my story. I'm thankful that the traditions are in place, because one thing that happens in the groups and the group conscience is that the God of our understanding must prevail. You know, if we talk about all of these personalities, I am right and you are wrong, you know, we're talking about a divided fellowship. And we're talking about a forum where the newcomer will come in and be so daggone confused that the message out there will look more attractive than the message of Narcotics Anonymous. So it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that as informed members of Narcotics Anonymous, read your traditions. Come to tradition meetings, you know. Know it is what you're talking about, you know, because if not, it'll be just like that last night when I had $17, you know. The man said, this is some good stuff. He told me, he looked me in my eye. He promised me it was some good stuff. But it was candle when I got home, you know. My last $17, how could he do? And guess what? He wasn't a stranger. He was a friend. Yeah, he was a friend. You know, so what the traditions help me do, ladies and gentlemen, is it helps save me from me. But the bottom line is that we provide an atmosphere of recovery where a simple, non-confusing, and life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous can be heard for the next man or woman that's coming behind me. I'm Lynette from D.C. Thanks for letting me share.
Situation without using, and that's it. I ain't got no more shit. No. See, I brought my book. I was fronting like I did. I brought the book like, you know, I read it because I said, you know, you can't, you know, because a lot of times I want to come and I want to act like, you know, I rereading the book all the time, and I don't, you know, so. But I got some experience, you know. I do. And one of the biggest things that I know is ego, image, and pride is the thing that will kill me. And the arrogance that comes from it is the thing that keep me from being of service in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an addict that if I use some drugs right now today, I'm not going to be able to stop. That's one thing that I'm clear of. I know that if I smoke something, shoot something, drop something, I don't even know. I think if I smell it, I might get it. You know what I mean? I'm an addict. That's my truth. As long as I know my truth, right, I'll be able to stay in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with some help from a power that's greater than me and with a lot of instructions. And thank God that we have more instructions than we had when I came around, you know, because we didn't have a whole lot of instructions as far as literature and books and stuff like this is concerned, you know, because when I came around, this book was not here. I came around, we only had the basic text. Some people that came before me didn't even have a basic text. They had something else. You know, and thank God that, you know, the people when I came around, when they talk about first tradition and unity, is that, you know, what was passed on the same way. Thank God that they didn't, like, deviate from what Narcotics Anonymous has given them through a power that was greater than them. And that's the only reason why I'm here. And that's because this power has allowed me an opportunity to live. And I didn't know nothing about a power, so don't think that I'm one of those people that all of a sudden I got so spiritual, like I knew God like that, and all of a sudden, God. It was a journey, and it still is, you know what I mean? And the understanding and the relationship that I'm trying to develop and keep with this power is growing each and every day through 11 steps. Right, but traditions is the thing that I don't know. It's the thing that I learned first. It was some of the stuff that I was learning as I was doing service, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, because, you know, I got involved in service before I got involved with steps, you know, and I learned some things. But when I came here, I was an addict that couldn't stop, right? I was a cocaine user, but I would do anything, but I liked the cocaine. And it didn't take much for me to get, you know, what I thought was the time, get high. But what it was is I just couldn't stop, right? And I always thought that cocaine was the thing that was going to always make it better. And cocaine never made it better, you know. But you could not make me believe that. That was some faith and a belief that I had in something that did make me feel good at one time. Cocaine used to work. All of a sudden, it stopped working. It just stopped working. And I ended up trying to find the same relief and comfort in cocaine. For a lot of years, I shot it, I sniffed it, I licked it, I smoked it in cigarettes, you know. It convinced me that if I didn't get paranoid that, you know, I was getting beat. You know? You know, I don't know. That's a powerful thing to change my whole conception about what it was supposed to be about into something else. And paranoia was a thing. If I didn't get paranoid, then... You know, I didn't, because even today, because I know right now today, because if I don't remember, not remember, but I know that if I take a hit right now, I was married at the time, I'm going to go to my ex-wife's house when I pick up. And this is what I think is going to happen, because I need to know that what happened before will happen again. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'll go over there, I don't even live there no more. I don't even live there, but I'm a go cop. Mm-hmm. I'm a go cop on 171st Street. This is New York City, right? So I'm a go cop on 171st. I'm gonna get mine. I'm gonna go back downtown and get me a Guinea Stout and two Guinea Stout, and Addicts cigarettes, Newports. They were Cools at one time, but they turned into Newports. Cools used to make your throat sore, you know, so we switched up. And I'm going to go in the house and I'm going to say, you know, I got to use the bathroom, and my oldest boy is going to leave out of the bathroom. He's probably being there, you know, on the toilet, and I'm like, I got to use the bathroom. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to sit on the toilet and I'm going to say to myself, I really don't want to do this, and before I can get that out of my mind, I done took a hit. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I'm going to be, I ain't even married now, but I'm going to come out of that room because my ex-wife is going to be in the bedroom, and I'm going to go in the bedroom, and I'm going to start searching the closet. I know this is going to happen. I'm not confused about this because that's what happened at the end. And I'm going to search the closet, and I'm going to be stuck in the closet for a half an hour. Looking for the trap door because I know homie went through the trap door. Right? This is going to happen. I don't want to be confused about this, you know? You know, I'm going to walk to the front door, look out the peephole. I'm going to hear voices 20 blocks away. They're coming to kill me. DEA is coming for that gram I bought. Coming down the side of the building. There's no fire escape. I'm on the 11th floor. Right, I'm going to crawl to the front door on my belly now. I'm going to take off all my clothes and crawl naked to the door because I can see the footprints, you know, under the door from the light You know, I'm going to do that. Scary, right? You need to remember that stuff, right? Because what we do sometimes, we come in here and don't share with the newcomer how we use. Newcomer don't know where it is. They think it's a come here tell my problems place. I got problems just like all of y'all, you know? And then we wonder why they use, because we ain't give them the solution. This is not therapy. This is Narcotics Anonymous. So what happened is at the end, right, for me is it wasn't a real deep story. It was deep enough to bring me here, right? Because I think that sometimes, you know, you get twisted. Like I had to go through a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of, but I did at one time. But, you know, at the end it was like sitting in the house, you know, after all that ritual, crawling back and forth, running to the door, snatching the door open, slamming the door, cussing them out, nobody behind there. You know what I mean? Going back in the closet again, getting the aluminum foil out of the garbage can, licking it again. I don't lick it 5 times. I got to go get the Guinness Stout bottle because there's something left in there, licking that, you know, and taking my finger across the counter. And then the last thing I did was go in the kitchen, look in the freezer for cocaine, and I never even went in the kitchen. Right, so this is going to happen, and I know that. But see, the main thing was at the end, I was sitting on the side of the bed, and I was crying, and I said, I wish I was dead. That's all that I know. Right, I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I had some of them same feelings. It just wasn't as intense as it was when I was using. Because you can come in here and feel like you want to use too. Being that, you know, things don't feel right, things don't look right, things don't seem like they're going to ever be right, you know what I mean? And, you know, it gets kind of painful up in here. But it's better with some steps in my life, but it's greater to be able to serve and to be able to give back. And I found out that's how to live in Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to live in the world. And my first tradition, it was about some people who said, you know what, it's going to be all right, because I was like, huh, I'm like, you know, I surrender because they surrendered. You know, and I came in, I stayed for 90 days, I went back out, took one day. See, I said, you know what's going to happen because I relapsed after 90 days, and what happened before those 90 days happened again, and it only took one day for me to come back into Narcotics Anonymous and say, that's it. And I'm tell y'all what y'all better do. Y'all better help me. Because if y'all don't help me, I'm going to kill somebody or I'm going to kill myself. Now, y'all got it? All right. Now, do what y'all supposed to do up in here. Just don't hug me. I don't need to be hugged and all of that. Show me how not to sniff cocaine. That's all I want to know, and I'll be all right. And they hugged me anyway. Anyway, right? And they told me to make meetings, and I was like, okay, I'll make meetings. I don't understand the concept, but I'm going to do what y'all say to do. Right? And the main thing they told me, and it didn't dawn on me, if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. Whoa. That sounds like some Gandhi stuff, you know. Whoa. You know, and it's just like that. You know, because what was given to us is like that. It's so profound. And the profoundness of it is because it's so simple.
Right.
The simplicity of it is that, you know, it's so powerful that anybody can get it. You don't need an education to get this. And I think that's why it was set up the way it was set up. Because we say any addict, but sometimes we get in here and act like it ain't any addict. We be talking, y'all, look, you get me sometimes. I be like, what was that? Go so deep on me, I'd be like, wait a minute, I need to make a new meeting, get me a dictionary, go back to school, because y'all done took me someplace, therapy gave you something, you read some book in some self-help book, and then you want to give me all this stuff. And the program is real simple. The program say, if I surrender, and y'all allow me an opportunity to surrender by sitting in here surrendering yourself. So we're going to show you how, Al. Just don't pick up for the day. Call us. Matter of fact, check this out. We'll call you. You know how we do. We tell a newcomer, call me. And then they don't call. That's why you relapse, because you ain't called me. No. We are no greater than them. And I just learned this the other day from my sponsee. It is deep ass. No, anyway, right? No, because sometimes you be thinking you all that, right? I'm the sponsor. You know what I mean? Because it talks about anonymity in here. And you'd be like, I'm sponsor, the great sponsor. And he dropped something. And I was like, whoa. Thank God I'm open-minded. Thank God I can be given something that will help me, you know, enlarge in my recovery. You know, thank God I can get more than I have never. I'm not done. You know how you come in here and get done? Like, I have a ride. I got 12-step, 12 traditions, 12 concepts. And, you know, yes, you can kiss my hand and stuff like that, you know. Because we get like that. Because that's the arrogance of it, you know. And I need to get better with being arrogant and selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. Because if not, then I won't be able to do what this power has given me a gift to do. It's given me a gift. In order for me to keep this gift, we always talking about we can't give it away unless we can't keep it unless we give it away. We say it, do we believe it? And I can't keep this unless I give it away. But am I in the right position to do this? Am I in the making a meeting, you know, with time? Because you get time, you don't make meetings no more. We ain't talking about us because we in a tradition meeting. That's right. Ain't nobody that don't make meetings ain't coming in here. They might make a convention, but they ain't coming in this meeting. They probably making a relationship meeting, but they ain't coming in here. We make meetings, right? And sometimes we get time. We don't want to make meetings. But can I live the first tradition if I'm not making meetings? Can I? Sometimes all I need to do is just be sitting in a meeting. Newcomers just need to see me.
Right.
Damn, he showed up again today. He got 14 years. Well, I ain't got 14. I got 13. I'm coming up on 14. And you came today, and it's cold, and it's raining, and why'd you come? I didn't want to, but hey, I know if I don't, I won't be coming. You know what I mean? So I'm here. That's some days, because most of the days I like coming. No, you know what? I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love meetings. And that's the kind of attitude you got to have to stay here. Got to love this. It talks about integrity in here. That means like having some character and really being behind what we are. Are you really behind what we are? Do you really throw your all into it? Nah, man. I got a life too. Really? I got a life too. Doesn't mean anything if Narcotics Anonymous is not the center of it. It don't work the same. Right? I got this consciousness that I have as a direct result of doing some step work because I couldn't even get to a first tradition if I didn't get to a first step and get into a power that I know I didn't have in me because I don't have the power to stay clean. I don't even have the power to change my mind. I like to believe it sometimes. I like to believe I have control over everything, you know, because now I'm clean. I got 13 years and I can do some stuff now. But the 11th step tell me, say, yeah, God will give me back my thinking because I surrendered it in 3. I surrendered my thinking in 3, told him to take it and do with me what he want. That's my will, my life. Take my life and my will and show me how to think and live. And I turned it over to him in 3. He gave it back to me in 11. And he said, now what you want to do? I said, since you've been doing such a great job of it. You keep doing what you do, because I can't do this on my own. And from this point forward, like I shared in the beginning, I'm trying to develop a relationship with it. No, I'm involved in a relationship with this power, because we talk about God, and then God scares people away, and we need to let people get their own understanding and belief about this God. And that way you will not be so intimidated and you won't be trying to white knuckle it because I got to get a God because we say you got to get a God. No, we ain't saying that. Be honest with yourself. Do you want one? Oh, we can get deeper than that. Let's go back to 1. Do you think you need one? Because my first step say I need one. I better get one and I got one. So in doing service, right, then a lot of times I've got this will and this power and this thinking that tells me I know that this will work better if we just follow this way. I learned that in service. I say I had some experience because being on the H&I committee, oh, y'all done made me the boss. Watch me run stuff. Because, see, it's a few things I was noticing when I was one of the panel leaders that y'all know y'all need to be doing certain things a certain kind of way. So check this out. This is how we're going to do it. They say, oh, you're a homie. We love you, and with this unity thing that we got going on, you know, we're gonna help you out this time. And I was like, no, we need to help you. All we need you to do, we need you to chair the meeting, open the meeting up, pick people, and clean this joint up when we leave, and go to the area and talk to them about what we need, and that's all we need you for. No, I'm the boss. No, you work for us. You don't tell us what to do. We tell you what to do. I was like, no, that's not it. Oh, yeah, it works like that, because us together can definitely do more than you can do by yourself. And I'm like, this ain't the job I wanted. I wanted to... And then I learned not to give orders, because it ain't about giving orders.
Right.
It's about, am I a part of the greater whole, or am I just sitting around here trying to bring on this new ideal and concept that I have that will work better with Narcotics Anonymous? Because the unity that we're talking about and the God conscious that we're talking about that will run this thing, it's better equipped that if the primary purpose and the welfare of all of us is the main concern, then everything will go well. When I wake up in the morning, am I concerned about you? Am I? Do I think about you when I get ready to go off on somebody in the meeting? Because I've been there someplace. I done went off in some meetings, not with no concern about the newcomer, or no concern that the meeting will get shut down and we won't have a place, you know? Or going along with my friends because they want to do something in a group, want to run everybody up in there so we can vote for them to get the chair spot, you know? Is that right? Is that correct? Is that about all of us, or is that about you? You know, and then picking trusted servants, because we talk about a trusted servant. That's because you trust me, not because you think that I'm such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Or my friend want to vote me in because that's my sponsor. Let me get my sponsor up there. Or let me get my sponsee in. Or let me get my friend in. No, you see some power that has developed in me, not that I'm powerful like that, but there's a power that entered into me. Like, I'm like this. I'm like, I play spiritual tag. That's how I like to play spiritual tag. You know how you play tag? You know, tag you it, right? Then you run. Then you go tag somebody. So spiritual tag is like something deep down inside of me touches something deep down inside of you. Tag. You're it. That's as a direct result of doing some work. And something in me has cleaned something in me out, where I'm no longer not approachable. I'm more kind, I'm more generous, I'm more open, I'm more loving, I'm more caring, I'm more peaceful, I'm more trusting, right? I've developed into a being that can be of service and can be of use to someone else. That's why I'm being trusted. Something happened as a direct result of a power that did something to me, that put me on a plane to be of service to it. I could say him, but then that would deny you an opportunity to come to your own belief. I could say she, and that would develop into some controversy in here, and that ain't what we're about. Whatever it can be to you, it can be. But I've learned through my process that, you know what, I come to understand that this higher power that I come to serve, I'm willing to serve because, you know what, not only did I trust in it, but it trusts in me. Why wouldn't I be in the position to do what it wants me to do? And why I don't know what it wants me to do? We always talk about, I don't know what God wants. Well, it looks like it's real simple. It would be crazy to be sitting up in here, and I don't know why I'm sitting up in Narcotics Anonymous. I just want to get clean so I can go on with the rest of my life. Do I really think that I can leave out of here and go on with the rest of my life? It won't happen. Not without this. This is instructions on how to live. I live through this, and I ain't saying I'm perfect. I've done some things, but the thing is with this thing is, you know, even with my faults, because, you know, I was molested as a child, and I could think, I can't share that because then now you're going to think that I might be gay, and then you're not going to accept me. The men, you're not going to accept me because I used to, and I'm like, wait a minute. No, you're welcome, Al. Really? Seriously? I left my children. You sure about that? I left a bunch of children, like 6 or 7, 8 of them. You did? Oh, my God. Even when the women was like, yeah, you bum. You know, you love me anyway. You're welcome. You mean I can stay? Yeah. Oh, but you know I'm not that smart. I don't have the brains. I don't go to college. I haven't graduated from high school. You can stay, Al. I don't have a God. You can stay. Got a bunch of trunks. She said something about luggage. I came in here with trunks. Emotional trunks, spiritual trunks, resentment trunks, anger trunks, fear trunks. I had a bunch of stuff. Bodies all in them stinking. Oh, my God. They said, Al, you can stay. You sure? You know, Al, sit your ass down. Because they loved us back then. They loved us so bad. You know, you thought it was abuse. Anyway, right, because they would be like, sit your ass down. Shut the up. We'd be like, who you think you're talking to? Oh, they're talking to me. But they was loving and caring. They loved us. And the only way they knew how. They told us to read the book. We read the book. They got mad at us. Well, we read. You say read. We read. We found some stuff out. And a lot of the stuff y'all wasn't sharing with us. And now we're going to tell you. And when we told them, they got mad. But we learned some stuff. And what I didn't never want to do is I didn't want to sit around in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous sharing because you shared it, and I'm going to say it because you said it, and then that's the way it goes. No, I needed some experience. Some things happened to me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and the thing that happened is that is all of us the same in here? Are we really? Are we the same? Or anonymity, is it really going on in here? Do you reach out to everyone? Or do you reach out to certain few? Do you reach out to women and don't reach out to men because you've been abused? Do you reach out to men and don't reach out to women because women done took you to the child support court? And you can't stand them? Because I've been to child support court, but I love my sisters. Right? But is everybody welcome? And is your desire, my desire, it dictates what I do in here, because my desire was showing what I do. We do a whole lot of talking. I ain't no talker. I got small seeds. They be talking, I stop talking. But you know, stop talking. Let's see some action. Do something. So in my desire to want to be here, right, to be a recovering addict or an addict in Narcotics Anonymous that's finding his way, right? Is my desire still the same or did it grow? And it will grow in here because, see, now I have a desire to learn what it is about the step work that can help me change. And if I'm doing step work, I'm changing. I can be a better member to serve, right? And then the traditions make more sense to me because then I find out it ain't about me. Right, but the thing is with this desire thing is, it's my desire that they did it grow, right? Because my thing is that we got a list, we got a checklist, right? Because if we got a problem, something is wrong. Then did you help somebody today? Because when they call me, I ask, did you help somebody today? Did you read some literature today? Did you write today? Did you call your sponsor? I'll answer that one for you. Nope, I ain't heard from you. So, did you make a meeting? What did you do to say that your desire to stay here and to get better? What do you have to offer me to say that this is what's happening? I have a desire to change. I have a desire to live. I have a desire to be free. The program is there for me. All I have to do is take it and run with it, and things will change miraculously. When they said that, I didn't know what it meant. Now I understand. Miracles happen.
That's right.
It happens. Can I be free? We go every place. Don't we go every place? We don't care. We going. because we know it's something after us. It's going to have to catch us, though, because we be moving. We don't play. Right? I was like, I had a tradition meeting. I'm like, oh, well, you know. It's going to be three people. Two of them is my sponsees. Three of them is my sponsees. We're going to be sitting up in here. You know, because nobody think it's fun going there. If you ain't having no fun in Narcotics Anonymous, maybe you better just, you know, get some, you know, sit down and go back through this thing, because they say free. Am I free from the nonsense? Am I free from the misery? Am I free from the depression? Am I free from the agony? Am I free from the white knuckling it? You know what I mean by the white knuckling? I'm just going on the best I can. I can't. And I'm white knuckling it. No. It has to be a peaceful journey. It should be.
That's right.
I don't know about you. Mine's is peaceful. And check this out. Everything ain't going so good. I owe. Right? Because sometimes having spiritual lapses, you do some stuff up in here. When God ain't in the center, something going to get in between me and God. There's going to be some problem. The disease said, I'm not here. Go ahead. You're doing good. You're fine. Keep sharing, you know. And the whole time, it was setting me up. It was sliding in the door. And the more it slid in, the more I started saying, now I'm going to have to take control of certain actions. And I did. Because fear is something else. Fear is so sneaky. It'll get in there and it'll mess with you. And before you know it, you done something to cause you more harm than you realize. I end up going in there saying, you know what, I need some dough, so let me go ahead. All I needed to do was hear, I know how to get it. And somebody told me, let's go and let's take some money from the government. Legally, illegally, whateverly, right? Because you know how you do your little taxes? I know y'all thought I robbed somebody. I did rob them. I robbed them, right? I robbed them with my man. My man put all kind of stuff down, and I ended up owing them $25,000. Now, pushing a truck out there that cost the same amount. The insurance is due. Child support. I'm so sick of child support. That's right. Got a girlfriend, it wasn't working, I gotta go, you crazy. I found out if she wasn't crazy, she might have been, but I need to keep the focus on myself, because it don't matter how crazy you is, I need to find out how crazy I am, right? And then I found out that she's still crazy, but no. But anyway, I was having problems with that, and all that stuff just came down, whoom! It did. Am I still going to serve? I'm still going to have unity in my heart, and character, and faith, and trust, and belief. Am I still going to do that? Am I still going to call my sponsees? I'm going to tell them, y'all need to get somebody else, because right now I'm a little messed up. Am I going to do that? Am I going to call my sponsor? Am I going to go chair a meeting when the meeting could be chaired? Am I going to live this instead of talking it? Am I going to go to that power which I tell them, if you get with one and you get one in your life, it will solve all your problems? Am I going to just abandon that faith and belief for myself? No, I'm going to do exactly what I say, what I believe, and I try to live this to the best of my ability. No, I don't. Because I know it's time for me to close, right? One thing I learned in here is take some words out of my vocabulary that don't work for me. And to the best of my ability, just don't work no more. You know what else don't work? Struggling. I'm struggling. No, I'm not. You know what else don't work? Sick. I'm sick. I'm still sick. I'm going to be sick for the... No, I'm not.
Say that.
I'm not. Not suffering, struggling, sick, stuck, none of that. Stuck on stupid, lock and loaded. I ain't locked, loaded. I don't know what it means. I ain't me. Like I'm getting ready to explode on something, lock and loaded. What that mean? I'm not locked and loaded. I'm going to get with God and God free me.
That's right.
Deliver me from this madness. That's it. I got to do it that way. If I do it any other way, I'm living like I've been living. You know what I believe today is? That the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous become more and more like the streets, then we all going to die. That's why we got traditions. Sell me something. I don't sell me nothing in no Narcotics Anonymous. Sell me some hope. Get ready to sell me a ticket. Can't even take me to a step to help me. A principle that I can use to help me live with this thing that's on me today. I got fear on me. What's going to work? What happened when I hit 6, 7 years? So some folks sitting up here with six and seven years, I wanted to kill myself in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. What's wrong with me? We ain't telling people stuff happens up in here, but what's the solution? It's going to happen, man. You don't do what you need to do. No. You know what? There's another thing about this. It's a choice that you can make, whether you want to live or whether you want to die. Ain't that something? We've been enforcing this on people. You better get the steps. You better do this. You better do that. No, this program says if you want this and you accept this, your life will change. And do I know... Do my life need to change? Or do I need to get more money and get, you know, a girl and all of that stuff and everything will be okay? No, my life needs to change because I had all that stuff and I don't know how to live with it. I can't live with it. I need to learn how to live. I need to learn how to have a relationship with you. I need to learn how to have a relationship with you. I need to learn how to have a relationship with you. You, I need to have a relationship with. I need to have a relationship with you. I need to know you. I need to know that there's something in you, that something in me, that something goes like this. Tag you it. Can my spirit touch yours? I don't care about who ain't doing what up in here. I don't care what you're doing. Stay away from me. But you ain't got to worry about that. I tell you one thing. You won't keep people away from you. Because see what happened, once you get this in you, this come out of you, and when this come out of you, folks stay away from you. You ain't gotta worry about nobody, just get this be you. This should be flowing in through me like my blood, and that's what I wanted to do. I ain't all the way there yet, but I'm trying to get inject me, the IV is in me. That's it. I'm walking around with the book in me like that. Al, what's wrong with you? I got the IV in. You don't see it? Right? And it comes out of me. And the more it comes out of me, it's going to touch her, and she's going to touch her, and she's going to touch her, and she's going to touch him. Him, touch her, touch, touch, touch. That's us. That's what we do. That's our program. And it's so beautiful. God set it up in a way where we can do this thing, but we can't do it. Even with all of us in this room, we cannot do it the right way. There's a right way. Even with all the personality, all the stuff that we got, powerful as we think we are, we can't do it. Even if we're sitting in here with all our God conscience and thinking that we know, if God ain't behind it, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
Think about it. Because if we go back years ago, because I don't got that much time, I'm talking about when the program first started. I don't care what you say. You might say, well, Al, you know. I'm talking about when it came into existence. It was two folks sitting around. Check it out now, because I'd like to believe this, because I know I got high like that. And I'm thinking now, some folks got together to bring this about. So two people who got high like I got high. All of a sudden, they just stop. What's your name again?
Lynette.
You know, me and you, almost 100 years ago, I went out how long with this program it is, right? Me and you just getting towed down. All of a sudden, I look over to you and say, Lynette, why don't we just stop using, write some literature, go help some people. You know what I mean? Why don't we do that? And you say, yeah, you know, that sounds good, but wait a minute. Let me take one more. You know, because I need to get my head right full. You know what I mean? You know how we do, right? So I'm thinking, right, because I go all the way back. Did that just happen like that? Ain't no way. it didn't happen like that. Something got in between them and whatever they was using to stop them just for a moment. Just for a moment. To bring them into some kind of alignment with it. To give it what it needed to give us. In order for it to blossom into something like this.
That's right.
It's beyond this room. It's beyond any attic. And if you ain't thinking about an attic in Japan, you're not living this program. If you ain't thinking about the poor attic, the rich attic, the black attic, the white attic, the oriental attic, the short attic, the skinny attic. Anyway, the not so thick attic like me. You know, or the thick attic. If it's not about everybody, then it's not the truth. We live in a lie. And if I'm not willing to help anybody in here, then I'm really living a lie. And what is this? All right, so I'm glad I came. I'm thank this convention corps for having me. I'm having a great time with whatever's going on in my life. This has been a beautiful thing. God gives me what I need in order to get through what I need to get through. And if I stay in alignment with him, I'm going to be fine. I don't worry about what's going to get taken care of. I'm taken care of now. That's what my faith is. My faith is not in what God's going to do, what he's already done. Thank you.
Thanks.